Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. In the name of Jesus, amen. What's up with that epistle lesson for today? I mean, like, wait, what? The Bible says that? I mean, come on, really? What is Jesus thinking? What is Jesus thinking as he causes Paul to write these words, "Don't think more highly of yourselves, rather think more highly of others"? What is he thinking? He must not have been American, that's for sure, because that's not how we operate in this country. We look out for the good old self, right? I mean, I'm the most important. I'm the one. I need to do it. It's all about me. That's the example we get, right? And quite frankly, that's the example that we're taught to believe. Even from a young child, when we go to school and education, teaches us, you have to be the best person and you have to do the right thing because it's all about you. And if you don't do the best and you don't make your A's and if you bring home a C, then we're not going to think less of you. You've got to do better. You've got to do better to show people who you really are. And we strive and struggle and we work through this in our homes. We're taught as young children, if you're good and you behave, we'll love you. All these messages from society bombard us, and every one of those messages points directly to our heart. And even as adults, we get these messages in the workplace. We get them in the workplace. We'll do our evaluations. Oh, you're good at this, good at this, and good at this, but you failed here, so whatever, right? Or even as a pastor, we hear all the time, you keep doing, pastor, you keep going and doing what you're doing, but by the way, if you do anything we don't like, even if it's biblical, if you do anything we don't like, we're going to get mad at you and we're going to treat you like garbage. It happens even all the time. It happens to me all the time as a pastor. It happens to every pastor I know. This is the world we live in, right? Because after all, it's all about me. And as long as I'm happy, as long as I'm getting what I want, as long as you're doing what I want you to do, as long as you're pleasing me, as long as you're doing the job I think you should be doing, well, then we're fine. But come hell or high water, if you don't, there'll be heck to pay, right? I'm going to gossip. I'm going to tell people about you. I'm going to stir up trouble. I'm going to hate you. I'm going to revile you. I'm going to pray against you. You name it, right? That's the world we live in. Churches aren't exempt from it. We aren't exempt from it in our children. We're not exempt from it as adults. We live in an egocentric world where self comes first. This is in stark contrast to what Paul is talking about in our epistle lesson for today, what Jesus says. Jesus says so very clearly to you and to me, don't think highly of yourselves. Think highly of those around you. What does that mean? Well, wait a minute. What if this person is a murderer and a liar and a cheat and he's done all these things? I'm not going to think highly of him. Well, that's not quite what Jesus is saying. We still have to have boundaries in our life. So let's say we have people in our life who abuse us or hurt us, right? We still have to protect ourselves by setting these boundaries, by saying your actions are not okay. But beyond those actions, as Christians, we are called to see beyond what a person does, because we know that behind the actions, behind the sin, behind what the person does, behind all of this veil of the outside world, inside is still a creature of God, a child of God, who is holy and dearly loved by Him. Something that we need to get straight. I don't think we talk about this much in the Christian world. And it goes back to John 3:16. For God so loved the whole world that He gave His one and only Son to die for it. Everybody in the world is saved. That's right. Even the unbeliever. God holds every person in the world in the palm of His hand, and they are saved. Now, we can choose not to believe. We can choose to push away that salvation. But the reality is, every person in the world is held in the palm of God, and He loves him. Just listen to Ezekiel today. What did he say? He says, I love you. I love every person. And he said, I don't want anyone to die. That's right. God doesn't want anyone to die. He wants all people to come to the knowledge of Christ Jesus and be saved, so that every knee will bow and every tongue confess He's Lord and Savior, as we heard in our epistle lesson for today. God wants no one to die, but wants everyone to have life. And if this is the essence of God, what this says is it tells us the essence of God. For God so loved the whole world that He gave Jesus. He so loves the Muslim and the Jewish person and the Christian and the unbeliever and the homosexual and the murderer. Yeah, that's right. You heard it. He loves everyone. No matter of our sin, He loves us. Because He looks beyond our sin and sees us as the person He made, His creation, whom He sent Jesus to die for once and for all. Now, the reality is, in our sinfulness, we can choose not to believe in God. But Jesus looks beyond that, and he never gives up, because he holds every person in the palm of his hand and loves them. And that's good news for each and every one of us. You Christians out there may be saying, that's not fair, that's not right. Remember last week, the first will be last and the last will be first. We heard about that. Yeah, and I know a lot of Christians struggle. Well, how can God love that murderer? And how can God love that person? And how can God love that person? How could God love that person who had an abortion? I'll tell you what, if God can love you and your sinfulness, whether you just stole somebody's pencil or said something bad in your head against somebody, violating the eighth commandment, if God can love you and your sinfulness, your sin is no different than any other person's sin in the world. So he loves them too. And that's more important for us, because if God can love them, then he also loves us. How does all this fit into what St. Paul says? Don't think of yourselves highly, think of others first. I think it's a challenge to us. It's also really challenging for us, right? Because that's what we know in this world. We judge people based on what they can do for us or what they can't do for us. We judge people on whether we like their personality or they not like their personality. We judge people by the decisions they make or the decisions they don't make, instead of taking the time to step back and realize that every person in this world is in the palm of the hand of God, who loves them and has sent Jesus to save them. Every person in the world, including you and me. When we take time to step back and realize that, when we take time to step back and celebrate that, we begin to see that we're all equal in the sight of God. There is no difference. We are all sinners who fall short of the glory of God the Father, and we are all sinners whom Jesus has sent into this world to die for and to forgive, each and every one of us. You know, the world's in chaos. I shared a post this week on Facebook about a pastor who did something which I think is vile. If you want to look at my Facebook page, you can. And it's really gotten me to thinking, why am I a pastor these days? I don't know. I don't know. Quite frankly, it's not that fun anymore. People just aren't loving and caring. And people are mean. And people share hatred and venom. It's not why I signed up to be a pastor. I mean, gosh. And then, furthermore, you call people out on this, and the next thing you know, everybody's mad at you and sharing their opinion or whatever. And I'm sure you experience that in your lives too, whether it's in your family or in your workplace. And we all question these things. The reason this applies to us is that Jesus, we're running along, right? We're running along in our faith, and we're enjoying the salvation of God, and everything is going great. And then all of a sudden, he confronts us with this brick wall, and we smash face first into it. And it causes us to step back and realize something crucially important. Jesus was God. And the whole grand plan of salvation could have been much grander than what it was, right? I mean, you could have trumpets and neon lights and the Rockettes dancing and all these things, right? You could have. No, God didn't do that. God humbled himself. He showed what it meant to be humble, to put himself beneath others, and came down in human flesh. Tempted as we are, tempted in every way, even more so. The trials and tribulations and struggles of this world Jesus went through. The hatred, the vile insults, the mocking he went through. He didn't have to, he was God. But he did. And then he humbled himself even more and took on this punishment, the weight of the entire world from the beginning of time to the end of this world. He took on himself so he could die for the world, for you, for me, for everyone who's ever lived and who will ever live in this world, to forgive us. Rose from the dead so we might have eternal life. This is the heart of the Christian faith. It's not about being an individual. That's the message we get in our country, right? It's not. It's not. Sure, we celebrate who we are and we use who we are for the intent purpose of the collective good. It's about humbling ourselves to lift others up, just like Jesus did when he came here to forgive your sins, to rescue you, and to give you eternal salvation. It's about helping others to see who they are in Jesus' eyes. Loved and redeemed children, precious in His sight, so precious that He's never let them go. They've always been in His hand. It's about helping those who are weary and stopping from the busyness of our life to say, what do you need? How can I help you rest? It's about listening to the opinions of others sometimes, even though you don't like them, and responding and saying, I hear you. And I love you. Sometimes it's about accepting discipline from others for our good growth and working with others to better ourselves and others around us. Sometimes, as much and as hard as it is, it's not about sharing our opinions down and shoving them down other people's throats, but it's leading by example, meeting them where they are and even going underneath that to where maybe we can't even see it. Prime example of that today is I hear people saying, well, you know, wherever you fall on this issue, I'm not taking a side, but I hear people say, well, you know, that masks actually decrease your virus or increase your virus load and you can get sick from them, so you shouldn't be wearing them. Well, and I see people not wearing masks because of that. What good does that do? Maybe we wear the mask, and when we have the opportunity, talk to others if that's our opinion and tell them what we think about it. And I'm not coming down either way on that, I'm just saying, right? The reality is, when we learn to humble ourselves as God in Jesus humbled Himself so that we can go to heaven, others will go to heaven too. Not because of our work, but because they will see Jesus in us and hear Him from us. And then the gloriousness of our epistle lesson will be true. Every knee will bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord and Savior. In His name, Amen.